This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, the only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And for those who missed the news, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, I don't even know what this one's called. Do you happen to know?
I've lost track of all the Xbox things because they call it different names. They're not going in a sequential order. So there was like the Xbox, plain Xbox, and then there was, I think the 360 came after that.
Yeah, the 360 was next, and then it was the One.
The One. Okay, see, I couldn't remember the most recent one.
Or as people like to call it, the X-Bone.
Okay.
And I don't know what the name of the new one is either, but evidently people are upset because they're
Xbox 2020. There you go.
That's what I would call it, yeah, sure.
The most recent one.
People are upset because obviously the supply of these things is not going to be able to meet demand, even though you would think by this point in gaming, console manufacturers would have a pretty good idea how to gauge demand, but they don't. And as a result, people can't just go to Walmart and buy their gaming console, so...
When do these things come out? I've heard recently that there have been sellouts at the various different stores. Is that over the last couple of weeks? Was it sometime in November when they were released?
Yeah, it's sometime over the last 2 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly when because I'm a PC player. I don't spend $400 on inferior hardware like console gamers do. I thought about this recently, and it actually surprises me how stupid console gamers have to be.
That's not very nice.
You have one dedicated thing. It can only do this one specific thing.
Play games.
Imagine that one specific thing designed to do that one specific thing is not the best at doing that one specific thing.
Well, I mean, how could it be? The computers will eclipse it with it. Even if it was the best the moment that it came out, personal computers would eclipse its power in minutes, you know, later. I mean, there's always new processors and graphics cards coming out for PCs.
But it's backwards, isn't it? I mean, the multifunction device is not supposed to be the best in any of these categories. The one that is dedicated to doing this one specific thing is supposed to be the best at doing it.
I don't know, Aria. I mean, look, I'll say this as somebody who has had both PC gaming experiences for my entire, you know, life, basically, and console gaming experiences to a lesser extent throughout most of my life.
But you stopped around the Dreamcast era, right?
No, I have a PlayStation 3.
Okay.
And I forget... You know, I think I bought that, like, in 2008 or something. So I've had it more than a decade at this point. And I don't remember the last time I actually played a video game on the PlayStation 3. So when the PlayStation 4 came out, I'm thinking, well, it would have to be a really awesome game for me to want to go out and buy another one of these things. And Red Dead Redemption 2 was interesting to me, but I wasn't willing to go out and spend
$400. It's also on PC.
Yeah, it's also on PC, but I haven't bought it for PC either, just because I know I'm not going to have the time. I'm not going to be able to sink the time into it. I got, earlier this year, I got the XCOM game that they came out with,
Chimera Squad, right?
Earlier this year. I still haven't finished that game, so I haven't picked it up in 4 months or 5 months at this point.
Well, you've been busy.
So, you know, video games just aren't a good way for me to spend any money, but just to defend the console gamers, there's something to be said for the simplicity of it, right? So you don't have to worry about graphics drivers and hardware incompatibilities or sound issues or whatever other problems might come up with a PC, because sometimes those things do happen, failures of equipment. Obviously, the video game system could fail as well, but with a video game system, there's only one configuration. There's only, you know, there's that graphics card that's in there, and there's that processor that's in there, and you don't get to go in there and swap out cards and, you know, add more RAM. I think you can add a hard drive or something these days, or switch out a hard drive, but that's about as far as they've gone for customizing video game systems.
See, I don't know if that's a good thing, though.
It is for plug and play.
In 2020, computers are so essential to our lives that the average person should be able to install a new graphics card or figure out whether or not this hardware is compatible
Arya,
with
the average person cannot do those things.
It is not complicated, though, and you know that.
Yeah, it is actually complicated. Like, you have to know a thing or two about computers. You have to at least have the confidence to be able to open up a computer case and swap out cards from there. I mean, it's a simple process in that unscrew screws, open case, unscrew another screw, pull card out, put card in. I mean, it's not complicated in that there are a lot of steps, but it is complicated in that it seems like it's a very technical thing, and you know, you don't want to zap the thing with static electricity in there, so there are some risks involved. You might want to take a few steps just to be a little bit more cautious. The average person is not a computer expert. They're not, you know, just because...
No, but the average person should, I think, should be capable of a few simple tasks, right? Among those is changing a tire.
Press the on button, turn it off, unplug it, and plug it back in. That's about as much as you can expect from the average person as far as technical abilities is concerned. And changing a tire is a different story than... I mean, it's similar, but different, right?
Like, well, I mean, if you're going to drive a vehicle every day for your entire life, you should know how to do some basic things, like change a tire. Check your oil, right?
You should.
And if you're going to use a PC every day for the rest of your life, you should know how to do some basic things, like change out a GPU.
Yeah, you're expecting too much.
I always expect too much.
I'll admit, I've not ever myself changed a tire. Never done it.
Okay.
I theoretically know how to do it.
I'm sure you could figure it out.
But I've never actually done it.
Okay, you just
and
never needed to?
I've never been in a situation where I've needed to do that. And so I don't have that experience.
Okay. Well, you know how, I would imagine.
In theory, I've seen it done.
And you could also figure it out. I'm confident you could figure out how to change a tire.
Okay, I mean, I'm sure I could, but that's the thing. Like, I can figure out how to do a lot of things, but I don't. Because I can just pay someone to do it. I can hire somebody to do it. And so, like, I could figure out how to do all that work that's being done on your house right now.
Sure.
But I have no experience at doing manual labor like that. So if I were to try to figure that stuff out, it would take me hundreds of hours of, you know, trial and error and reading things about, you know, I have to research and watch YouTube videos and then try it out and fail likely a number of times. But
wasn't there a dude who built an entire house just from watching YouTube tutorials?
I believe that there would be. And I suspect he didn't have time to do anything else.
Good point.
So your average person is busy, right? Like, everybody's busy, unless they're a welfare whore or something like that.
Right.
They probably have a job. They probably have a family to take care of. And they don't want to learn how the computer works. They just want to play a video game.
Okay.
I don't want to know how to change all the... You know, I've done an oil change on my car. The last time I did an oil change on my car, I was a teenager. And my dad showed me how to do it on the truck that I owned at the time. And I hated it.
Yeah, I've done one oil change, and I never intend to do another. I mean, it's so much easier just to pay someone else to do
it. That's my point.
Right.
Other people feel the same way about going into their computer.
I guess that's an explanation for it. I still don't think it's wise. I think it's...
To buy a console? Is that what you... When you say you don't think it's wise...
I don't
wise,
think it's wise to be so ignorant of a device that you're constantly using that you don't know how to change out a component in it. I guess.
I mean, I don't disagree with you.
The consequences are so minor that it's not important. I mean, they can always just hire someone like me to come out and do it for them.
I see where you're coming from, but on the other hand, I turn on the lights in my house every single day, and I do not have the ability to go in and do electrical work.
No, but you can change a light bulb.
Okay, yes. I think most people can change a light bulb.
I wouldn't want the average person changing out their CPU either.
Okay.
Because they're so
good.
Likely to burn that out.
Sure.
But as far as like a graphics card or RAM?
It's certainly easier to do a graphics card or RAM than it is to do a CPU. But for a lot of people, that all seems very technical. It all seems very overwhelming. And it seems kind of risky. I mean, if you're buying a newer graphics card, you may be spending upwards of $150 to $250 on
that
piece of equipment.
Almost $400.
Then you're going, you know, up into the higher level stuff. But... My point is, that's a big purchase for a lot of people, and they may not feel comfortable going in there and just, you know, toying around with their computer and, you know, feeling uncertain about that. So to take it back to console gaming, this is a plug-and-play thing for people. They just want to play a video game. They want to be able to plug the thing in, press the power button, put the disc in the drive, and then go.
Well, some of them don't even have discs anymore.
I know that. But my point is, that's what they want. They want simple. Yeah. They want it now. You don't get that with a computer. You got to do some configuring.
Yeah, but that makes it so much more rewarding. We're going to tell you why console players are upset. 855-450-3733.
Divi's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divi's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DiviProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DiviProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DiviProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org. Freedom! Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom. At a discount, go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website, all put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
Do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Now, with AnyPay, you earn passive income for every purchase at those businesses. Finally, a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You made it happen, so you receive the rewards. Download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. Then, install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at AnyPayInc.com. AnyPayInc.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. Talk radio that you control. And you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio is Ariane Ian. And evidently, a UK retailer known as Very has canceled over 1,000 Xbox Series X orders. Man, that is a mouthful. They could have just called it the Xbox 4 or whatever number it is. Evidently, the orders were placed by a scalper ring, according to Eurogamer. The group claimed that it had secured more than 1,000 Xbox Series X consoles from a, quote, very well-known online retailer. This scalping ring reportedly charges £30 a month to teach its members how to turn a profit in the resale market themselves, which is surprising to me. It seems like a pretty straightforward concept, right?
Buy low, sell high.
Yeah, you buy the thing, and then you wait until it's sold out, and then you sell the thing on eBay. I can't imagine paying $30 a month to have someone tell you that. Then, in an interview with Sky News, Very said that the Series X and PlayStation 5 console listed on its website on Sunday were actually not for sale. As a result of a technical error, some people were able to place orders for consoles for a short time on Sunday. However, these items are not on sale, and affected customers have received notice that the orders have been canceled. We apologize for the confusion caused. So evidently, it was just a glitch on their website, allowing them to place orders, and they didn't actually have the consoles, because these things are evidently sold out. And they were late to be delivered. The kid who does the Extra Life Foundation, he got both the PS5 and the Series X. I can't imagine.
He did get them?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But they were late. They were supposed to have arrived like on a Friday, and he got them the following Monday or something.
Now, why would you want to get both of them?
I don't understand why you'd want to get either of them.
Okay, well, and that goes back to what we were talking about before, but you know, the game catalogs are so similar between both Xbox and PlayStation that what's the benefit? I mean, if you're going to get a console, what's the benefit of getting both of those? I mean, is it because you mentioned during the break sometimes there's these exclusives where PlayStation will get, you know, whatever new game it is, and it'll be exclusive on PlayStation, but it'll only be for a limited period of time after 6 months or however long the exclusivity is. Then you'll see it pop up on PC or you'll see it pop up on Xbox. Do you get both consoles just because you're that impatient and you have to get every single game right when it comes out for every single console that, you know, it comes out for or something?
I think with this particular example, it's just that gaming is that big of a part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
That is like his main hobby. So it's like me having three guitars, you know, the slight differences between them, but it's enough for it to matter to me because that's important to me.
But isn't like just, are there still exclusives that are only on one platform? I guess with Xbox, there probably are a few Microsoft only games, right? Where it's like Halo or whatever. I suspect that's not available on Sony. That's got to be it, right?
I don't know. I swear you can find Halo on Xbox games for Windows or the Xbox Live service or whatever they're calling it.
Well, of course. It's a Microsoft product. I'm saying you wouldn't be able to find it on PlayStation.
I don't know. You know, I've been out of consoles since like the PlayStation 3 era. The only console I think worth getting are the Nintendo ones, and that's because they actually do have a lot of exclusives.
You're saying you can't get those on PC,
right?
Games.
Yeah. Which sucks, because I would much rather just be able to. I mean, that's how these companies do it, right? They release this inferior hardware, and then they force you to buy it for the software.
Well, you aren't forced to buy it. You could choose not to.
Sure. Which is what I do with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, whatever it is.
Well, I mean, I think that even if it weren't 2020 and people weren't locked down at home, you probably would still see these systems selling out. I mean, people go crazy whenever these new systems come out. They've got a lot of buzz about them. People love video games. Video games are a tremendous industry now. I don't know, what's it been, like 15 years since? It feels like it's been more than a decade at least since the gaming industry surpassed Hollywood as far as the amount of revenue that, like, when a new AAA game, one of these big name games from a big company comes out, that they actually will earn more money than a Hollywood blockbuster will typically.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They crossed that threshold a long time ago. But they
will sell like 10, 12 million copies of some of these.
Right.
And
well,
it's $60 a piece.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
Right? And whereas if you're going to the movie theater, which no one does anymore because they're mostly shut down, it seems like, or they're looking bad, you're paying what, $12, $15 max per ticket there? So the ticket price is higher on these video games. And that's not even factoring in all the microtransactions.
You get a lot more time out of the video games.
You do. And, but like I said, that's not factoring in the microtransactions. Some of these games...
Don't let me get started on microtransactions.
Yeah, and it's one of the worst aspects of gaming in modern times. But, you know, regardless of our opinion about it, they sell tons of these microtransactions. And so it can be, you know, a $50 game, but then these fanatics will spend another $200 on just like upgrading their costume in the game or whatever. It's ridiculous.
Well, thanks to loot boxes, they will spend well over $200 and may not even get the items they
but
want.
They want. Yeah.
Yeah. They're being sued over. EA is being sued over
in
loot
Canada,
boxes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've also got that story. I didn't really intend to get into it.
I've had that one too for a couple weeks or however long it's been.
But as far as another reason that I'm not a big fan of consoles is because they drove up the price of a video game. I mean, just 15 years ago, a PC video game was $50. That was the flat rate you would expect to pay for any new release PC game.
And now what is it?
Now it's $60. And it's because console games debuted at $60.
I don't think you can blame consoles for that. It's probably just inflation.
Well, I don't think so, and let me finish explaining why. Console games instead were $60 for the same game because $10 of that went to license the game to Sony's platform or Microsoft's platform. Mm-hmm. So they had to charge a little bit extra. Then they realized, well, there's no reason to allow PC gamers to get our games 10% cheaper than everyone else. Let's jack up the prices. And that's just what I've seen. I can't say that it's because of console gamers, but I know that console gamers said, yeah, we'll pay $60 for a game, and PC gamers shortly later found themselves buying games for $60. And they're on their way to $70 now.
I've heard about it going up to $70, but look, I mean, if you look back even further, I remember being a kid in the late 1980s, early 90s, and I remember buying Super Mario Bros. 3. Now, I don't remember a whole lot of the games that I bought, but I remember that one a lot because it was a big deal when Super Mario 3 came out.
I mean, it had its own movie to advertise it. I mean, yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, it right. There was the, what was that called? The Wizard?
The Wizard,
I think it was.
Yeah. I've never seen it, but I expect it to be bad.
So it came out in the United States in 1990, and I remember, I tell you, I think it was like $53 or something that I paid for that brand new at Kmart back in the day. Yeah, so, I mean, you're looking at maybe like $50 for around, you know, the early 1990s, and then you went to $60 toward the end of the 90s, and now you're coming up on $70. It doesn't seem unbelievable to me that you would see prices rise over time, right, as the dollar becomes weaker.
Although, and the budget for making these games has also become much higher. I mean, the teams of people that are involved in this.
They're tremendous, yeah. Lots more programmers and artists and things like that work on a game these days than they did back in the...
Yeah, like Adventure on the 2600 was programmed by like one dude.
Yeah.
You can't get a game today that was made by one dude.
Well, generally. I mean, there are still some indie games.
Yeah, like Minecraft, I guess. But, I mean, even then, he had help come later.
Sure.
So we're going to get off of this and into other news. Do you want your coronavirus vaccine? If you live in the UK and you don't get one, you may not be able to go to restaurants. I'm told you may not also be able to fly in the United States if you don't get one. It's going to... I'm still not getting one. 855-450-3733. Are you planning to get one?
Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs. Marquette Mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Dixie and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DINOVITE.com.
I just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I've seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cat to Dynavite, I took the advice from Dynavite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
U.S.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A federal vaccine advisory panel voted to recommend that healthcare workers and residents of long-term care facilities be the first to receive any COVID-19 vaccine doses from the limited supply that will be available initially. Speaking virtually, Dr. Kathleen Dooling saying the proposed first phase will be split into three sequences. Phase one will include healthcare personnel and residents of long-term care facilities, such as nursing homes.
Healthcare personnel are defined as essential workers, paid and unpaid, serving in healthcare settings who have the potential for direct or indirect exposure to patients or infectious materials.
Attorney General Bill Barr saying in an interview that there's no evidence to support voter fraud claims made by the Trump administration that could have changed the outcome of the election. And you're listening to USA Radio News. President-elect Joe Biden introduced Janet Yellen along with other top members of his economic team during an event in Delaware on Tuesday. Yellen calling this moment a great challenge for the United States.
The pandemic and economic fallout that together have caused so much damage for so many and have had a disproportionate impact on the most vulnerable among us.
If confirmed, Yellen would be the first woman to be the U.S. Treasury Secretary. Virginia Senator Mark Warner saying it would be stupidity on steroids if Congress broke for Christmas without a new COVID relief bill. The Democrats saying Congress needs to address several issues.
We're not doing more for small business, not trying to make sure people are not put out of their homes without rental assistance, making sure that we address some of the food loss that's going on, food insecurity that's happening right now.
Warner, part of the Problem Solver Caucus, who announced their plans for a new stimulus package earlier on Tuesday. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria and Ian, and Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information neatly organized by your needs. So there's no longer an excuse to ignore this important world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com, where you can get the latest headlines of all the news relevant to you, because bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a sleek and easy-to-use website, bitcoin.com. Now is a really good time to learn about Bitcoin. My sister took my advice and bought some Bitcoin recently.
Before the all-time high?
Yes.
Okay.
She got it Saturday. Well, I'm not declaring it an all-time high until it hits 20 grand.
The mainstream media certainly has.
Which isn't bad for it, the fact that it may actually hit an all-time high because of that. But I'm saying 20,000 is the all-time high. You know, because I don't know how close it got to 20,000.
It depends on which exchange you look at.
Yeah. But I'm patient, and I'm just waiting. I expect it to get much higher. I think we're going to be looking back at this in 6 months going, you know, 19,800. What a steal that would have been to buy Bitcoin. So, moving on with gaming news, evidently, you found something related to what we were just discussing, arguing that the price of video games should actually be lower, correct?
Well, you were saying that you thought it was the console's fault that PC games have been going up in price, and I just sort of made the argument off the top of my head that it was actually probably had more to do with inflation than anything else, given that the price of games, sort of normal prices, seems to have gone up over time, at least in my recollection.
And well, I think certain trends begin in places and then they spread to other places. I think that's a better way for me to put it. The trend of $60 games began on console and then it spread to PC, just like the trend of microtransactions began on mobile phones, mobile games, and spread to console and PC.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I know everything that goes into what a game's price is, but I imagine at least, because there's two different ways games are distributed these days. There's physical copies, you know, on a Blu-ray disc or something, and then there's just digital delivery. Right. And, of course, that doesn't have any of the costs of distribution involved. So with a physical disc, you got to pay the manufacturer, you got to pay the truckers that move the product, you got to pay the wholesalers, you got to pay the retail, you know, everybody's got to get their cut.
Right.
So, yeah, it would seem like you would, and I've never actually looked at this, but I imagine that if you went and you bought a brand new game for the new PlayStation 4 online, you're probably going to pay the same price as you would pay at the store for a physical copy. Is that generally true? Do you know that? Or is it cheaper?
In my experience with the Nintendo Switch, it is true. I mean,
same price.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're really getting you, right? Like, you know, it's not fair for them to charge the same price for a product that has zero distribution costs, right? Like, as far as digital distribution, the costs of that are next to nothing, unless, of course, you factor in that they're paying the platforms. If, for instance, we're talking about PC gaming, for instance, because there's different digital platforms.
That, yeah, Steam gets some sort of
they
cut.
They get a cut. But when it's PlayStation and Microsoft, they're running the platform. When you're on your PlayStation, you connect to the PlayStation Store. There's no middleman in there. That's Sony, right? So,
well, Sony probably still gets a cut from the game publishers for.
Oh, they get a licensing fee.
Yeah. No,
but what I'm saying is that Sony is running the platform that is distributing the online version. So those should be cheaper, but they're not. In the same way that if you buy an e-book and a physical book, the e-book should be cheaper.
They are cheaper.
Are they?
In my experience.
Okay. Because I thought they were releasing these things brand new at the same price. But I could be wrong. I've never actually purchased an e-book. So
I don't either, because I just go to the Pirate Bay.
So according to ArsTechnica.com, last week, so this is fairly recent here. This is this is posted over the summertime. 2K made waves by becoming the first game publisher to set a $70 asking price for a big-budget game on the next generation of consoles. NBA 2K21, it's not confusing, will cost the now standard $60 on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but 2K will ask $10 more for the upcoming Series X and PlayStation 5 versions of the game. And
I would love to know what their justification for that is.
Better graphics. I don't know. There's probably some other stupid crap, like you get a special uniform or, you know, they've probably threw some stuff in there. But remember there was the time when PlayStation 4 was coming out that some games were coming out for both PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
And the only difference would be the graphical capabilities. That's the only difference.
Yeah, but they didn't cost more on the newer console.
I don't remember. Maybe they didn't. It remains to be seen if other publishers will follow 2K's lead and make $70 a new de facto standard for big-budget console game pricing. But while $70 would match the high watermark for nominal game pricing, it wouldn't be a historically high asking price in terms of actual value. Thanks to inflation and changes in game distribution, in fact, the current ceiling for game prices has never been lower. To measure how the actual asking price for console games has changed over time, we relied primarily on scanned catalogs and retail advertising flyers that we found online. So they went back in time and they looked, you know, at old advertisements from the 1980s and 70s and 90s and such. They said, while this information was easier to find for some years than others, we were still able to gather data for 20 distinct years across the last four decades. We then adjusted those nominal prices to constant $2020 using the Bureau of Labor Statistics CPI inflation calculator. So they're using the government's official numbers for inflation, which we all know are,
not
you know,
correct.
Low ball, right? Yeah. Like, the actual inflation is probably higher than that, but Nonetheless, they did take that into account, so that's good. To avoid the influence of low-priced bargain bin games or retailer discounts, we focused on the highest asking prices for individual games that we could find in each year. But to avoid undue skewing from outliers like the $100 Genesis version of Virtual Racing, we averaged the highest top-level asking price we could find for a basket of games representing up to 8 different genres. So for NES prices in 1988, the $49.99 top asking price for Blades of Steel in the sports slot was partially balanced out by the $34.99 top asking price for The Karate Kid in the Fighting Brawler slot. So the resulting data is a little noisy from year to year, depending on which specific games were included on extant advertisements that we could track down. Over time, though, the pricing trends are still pretty easy to spot. While nominal cartridge game prices in the early 80s topped out at $30 to $40, inflation makes that the equivalent of $80 to $100 per game these days.
Wow.
So if you had purchased a, you know, Atari 2600 game or whatever in the early 1980s at $30 to $40, that was the equivalent of paying upwards of $100 for a game today.
I mean, I grew up on the NES, but it's amazing to me to think that, you know, these games were worth $30 to $40 at the height of their popularity. Like, I wouldn't pay $5 on the Nintendo Switch to have, you know, the original Zelda again, because it's just not worth it to me.
You wouldn't pay $5 for that?
No.
Okay.
I would probably pay 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
At the most, if I was going to buy it instead of just, you know, emulating it on PC. But it's amazing that, you know, that simple game with hardly any content whatsoever was worth basically the same price as Skyrim.
Well,
it's just amazing how things have evolved is the point I'm making.
I get what you're saying. So the argument you're making there is that you're actually getting more for your money today, right? So
yes.
if you paid $50 for Skyrim, which for listeners that don't know, that is a very intricate open world first person playable or role playing game, you know, with like swords and magic spells and things like that. That came out, I think, in 2011, if I recall correctly.
It's pretty old at this point.
Yeah, it's almost a decade old. It's sort of been repackaged and re-released a few times since then. But it was tremendously popular. One of probably the most popular games over the last decade, I would guess. That game is so, you know, deep by comparison to something like The Legend of Zelda. But both of those games at their time were state of the art. I mean, they're top of their class.
Sure.
High level games. I mean, at the time when Zelda came out, the world had never seen anything like that before. It really was an amazing game. And to a large extent, it's still pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I still play it.
Yeah.
What about you? Are we entirely wrong about this? 855-450-3733. Maybe games should be more expensive since there are so many people working on them. What do you think? 855-450-FREE, as in freedom.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in to talk about anything that's on your mind, unless you're James from Arizona and I don't feel like dealing with you because you have nothing worthwhile to say. If you're not James from Arizona, 855-450-3733 is the toll-free call-in line. 855-450-FREE is in free of James from Arizona tonight. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And it's Ian.
And we're talking about video games, specifically right now, video game prices, because there's rumors of them going up to $70 as a baseline. And
realistically, some of them did.
Yeah, game publishers are so greedy that I'm surprised they haven't done it already. I mean, what irritates me about season passes isn't just their existence. Now, a season pass is you pay like $30 and you get the next 6 months of downloadable content planned for the game for free, except then there's a...
Is that $30 on top of the $50 or $60 bucks for the game?
Of course.
Okay.
And then, of course, you don't get all DLC. They still release premium DLC that isn't included in
what
the season
pass.
Yeah. So given how greedy these publishers are, I have no expectation that the games are going to be $100 within a few more years. Because, I mean,
I mean, if you're factoring in the season pass, you're already up to $100. I mean, if you pay $70 for the game itself and then another $30 for the season pass, there you're at $100 there, and that doesn't even include the other downloadable crap. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the downloadable content. That was something that I noticed years ago, and I'm like, I don't like this trend.
Yeah, I like the idea. I mean, what people call downloadable content, we used to call content patches. Now we have to pay for them. And I still like the idea of, you know, breathing new life into a game that you like.
Sure, but there's nothing wrong inherently with that idea, but if it's...
Or we call them expansion packs.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if the game comes out and it's complete and, like, it's a good experience, and you don't feel like you have to go and get the downloadable content or the expansion pack or whatever. But to know that they make these games and they plan the downloadable content, you know, for after the fact means they are trying to milk people for as much as they can get out of them. And, you know, if they can get it, then, I mean, that's obviously why they do it, right? Because people are that desperate for something to do, I suppose, that they feel the need to buy every little downloadable content thing that comes out.
Batman Arkham City is probably one of my favorite games of the last decade, mm-hmm. and they cut out the entire Catwoman section which was ready to go at launch and was part of the game and was built into the story. I mean, it's like, a critical part
of the
story.
No, we can charge extra for this.
And that's exactly what they did. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
That they even have DLC sometimes on disc, that's even more frustrating because that's
It's locked down.
Yeah, that's literally something that was ready at the time the game released.
Wow.
Why isn't it part of the game? You know, DLC should come after. It shouldn't be built into the process from the beginning.
I mean, it's almost got the feeling of like a bait and switch, you know, especially if they're like they're putting it on the game disc as well. So you're actually, when you pay the money for the game, you get the data. You just don't have access to it. You got to pay extra for that. And it's too bad. I mean, I hope that there are still some games that come out that don't go this direction, that, you know, you just pay for the game and you get the game and that's it. And then, you know, if there's enough worth releasing that they come up with later, okay, fine, I get that. But like a game like XCOM Chimera Squad, it's its own self-standing game. It's using the whatever probably the most recent XCOM engine was that they used on their last game, so, you know, they didn't have to reprogram the engine, but they also only charged like $10 for it when it came out. So, you know, they didn't, I think I got it at a special price, but like brand new, the normal price was $20. So it wasn't a high tier price or anything like that, and you didn't need the original game to run this one. So like that didn't seem like a tacked-on thing. That was like, oh, this is a completely separate game. But the development wasn't as expensive because they didn't have to make a whole new engine for it, so they just put it out as its own thing. So that, to me, feels better as somebody who's buying a game than just feeling like I'm getting nickeled and dimed just to be able to play an entire game experience.
That's one of the things I like about Bethesda and Skyrim in particular, because they did have downloadable content, but it was misnamed. They were really expansion packs. Mm-hmm. They had four because they were massive. They added a ton of content into the game versus, you know, a special costume that you can buy for $5 or whatever. These were actual legitimate expansion packs. But the guy who's heading Bethesda has said in interviews that it frustrates him that we have people playing Skyrim a decade later, and yet Bethesda isn't making any money from it.
Yeah.
So that Elder Scrolls 6 is going to have microtransactions.
Oh, God.
I'm 100% positive.
Count me
out. Yep. It's frustrating, man. And they want to make even more money. I mean, no amount of money is enough for gaming publishers. It's disgusting what they're doing. Season passes, DLC on top of that, some DLC not included in the season pass, plus microtransactions in AAA games on top of it, like Dead Space 3, where you could speed up your building times and stuff like that. Because every game has to have a crafting system now. I think that's finally going to work.
I'm tired of that crap.
Yeah, so am I. But you could just pay money to make all that go away. And some of the newer Mortal Kombat, you know, you don't have to know the code to do a fatality. You can just pay 50 cents to use an easy fatality. I think that was Mortal Kombat 10. Yeah. I don't remember what they were called,
God.
But yeah, you could just pay 50 cents
or
whatever.
Are you serious? How do you do that in the middle of the game?
I imagine you
like
have to
stock them
it.
Up. You like stock them up. You've got like an inventory of cheapy fatalities that you can just pay. And anytime you hit a special button, you don't have to put. For listeners that don't know,
I would never do it.
For listeners that don't know what we're talking about, you know, if you're over the age of 70, back in the 1990s, a game called Mortal Kombat came out, and it was a very controversial game at the time because it was quite violent. And we're talking about 93 or something like that. In arcades, it was an arcade game first, and it came out on all the home systems. Nintendo, back in the day, wouldn't allow blood on their game system because it was, you know, family-friendly. So you'd only, like, see little white bits of sweat come out from the characters as you attack
terrible.
Them. But most of the other consoles did have the blood on there. And now, there have been, as you said, Mortal Kombat 10. So there's been a ton of these games that have come out. It's always been the same sort of ultra-violent, ultra-bloody. But in the recent versions that you're talking about, starting with number 10, it really got gory. Like, I mean, it, yeah, because before before it was sort of like cartoony. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't cartoony in that they actually had digitized photos of people back in the original Mortal Kombat. They actually had pictures of actors that were the game characters. So it did have sort of, for its time, a realistic look. But now it's like so gory. Like, even I, who have been desensitized to, you know, video game violence over the years, even I, watching these things, had thought, wow, that's going a little overboard. Like, they're pulling out spines and just really, like, grotesque.
Well, they've always been pulling out spines.
Yeah, but like, disemboweling people and just really, like, grotesque, like, super horror movie level kind of gore effects in a video game. Like, even
I
was
shocked. You're making me want to play Mortal Kombat 10.
It's got those things in the game. And, like, it's so absurd that, like, they'll do some of these ridiculous, just bone-shattering moves on these characters in the middle of the match, and the match will, like, stop for a few seconds to show the animation of somebody, like,
Nine had those as well,
bashing somebody's head in, and then a second later the character's still standing and you get to fight, you're still fighting with the person. It's the old Mortal Kombat games, you'd wait till the very end and then you'd do the finishing move and it pulls their spine out or whatever it was that they did. But in the current game,
but you had to know how to do
There was a certain series of buttons you had to press within a certain time frame, and it was hard. It wasn't an easy thing to do. So now what you're saying is they can just go ahead and buy a pass for the finishing move, and they can just hit a button, and then it just finishes the person, and they don't have to, like, spend the time to actually learn how to do it or practice it.
As I understand it, yes.
Wow.
I've never used one, though, because Mortal Kombat 9 was the most recent one I played, and you could pause the game at any time and see all of these special moves, including the fatalities.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to look them up.
I
did. Yeah. You used to have to actually know these things, but now you don't even have to do that. You can just pause the game, look at what you need to do, and enter those buttons. Or you can pause the game and use an instant fatality easy pass. It's bizarre, man. And it's just another way for these companies to make money. I imagine they've sold some of these.
God, they must. People are lazy.
It's amazing how exploitative video games have become, because if they're not just doing that, I'm surprised, in fact, thinking about it, that Mortal Kombat didn't make fatalities unnecessarily complicated just to sell more of these fatality easy passes. You know, make them require 15, 20 different button presses like Primal Rage did. That way people are like, oh, no, I'm not learning all of this. I'm not even attempting it. I'm just going to pay 50 cents or whatever it costs.
You used to pay 50 cents just to play an arcade game back in the day. Now they want you
to pay
50 cents just to do one move?
I don't know what the cost is as far as what these...
I bet you it's not less than 50 cents. I mean, it's not even worth running a credit card for less than a dollar.
Well, you probably have to buy them in a pack of 50.
Because
you know how these...
Yeah, that makes sense. Man, what a scam.
Gaming is in a bad place, dude.
I know.
It has been for a long time.
I just don't feel like I'm missing out on much anymore.
You're not. And I don't feel like that. Like I'm missing out on anything either. The most recent game I think I played was probably actually Skyrim.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive, and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series. From Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.